Kids will be staying here with us this morning because I don't think we're going to be very long with what it is I want to share with you this morning. But I've got an opportunity, I believe, for us that I believe has been birthed from out of the heart of God. And I want to take some time this morning now then to share this with you. Let me start by telling you where it is that this idea came from. We really have in the last couple of weeks been breaking some new ground. And we have been invited, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to maybe go some places where we've never been before and be involved in some things that we've never seen, which is, I think, absolutely great news, to tell you the truth. And this particular thing I'm going to be sharing with you today is something that was birthed, I'm going to say primarily, in Marcia's heart. Then as she began to share it with me, the idea grew and grew and grew and grew. And we have put together a Bible study, and we're calling it a journey, that will start, it's called Lamplight Your Delight, a 40-day journey to intimacy is what it's called. Now, the first principle of this whole thing is this. A lot of times when we are praying and when we are talking, we talk about delighting ourselves in the Lord. The objective of our next 40 days, and this is going to start Wednesday, the 14th, but the objective during this 40-day journey is not for us to find our delight in Him, but for Him to find His delight in us. Hence the title, Lamplight, Your Delight. There are, and I'm going to be careful because we've got the kids in here with us this morning, but I want to be sure that I communicate to you what it is I'm trying to say. But in relationship, when you are in relationship, husband and wife, there are certain things that one person likes that maybe another person doesn't really care that much about. My wife, I'll give you a good example, I guess, right here, is my wife is not really the kind of touchy-feely kind of person like I am. Okay? My wife can go all day long and never reach over and touch me in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Doesn't bother her. Me, I go to sleep at night with my hand on her somewhere. You follow what I'm saying? There's just a difference in what people like and this journey is not a journey that is intended for us to seek the Lord for what it is we want to get out of it. The intention is for us to seek the Lord as to what we want to please Him with. Okay? All righty. So, Lamplight, Your Delight. The dates are going to be, see if I hit that button right. Have we got it on manual? Forget it. The dates are June the 14th through July 23rd. I got me a board here. I'll just do it here. June 14th through July 23rd. Anybody know what's happening? Anybody know what day of the week July 23rd is? Sunday. Great. Anybody know what's happening on that Sunday? Yvonne Peters is going to be here. Now, anybody know what day of the week the 14th is? It is Wednesday and it is Flag Day. Exactly. We are going to have a meeting here this coming Wednesday night to kick off this campaign on Flag Day. And our theme that night is going to be His banner, His flag over me is love. Alrighty? Now, in order to take a journey, when you're going on a journey, you have a glove box. Don't you have a glove box in your car? Okay. Just hang with me. It makes a journey easier if you have a map. This is going... Guys, let me have a couple of you come up here real quick, please. Here is our... Thank you, John. Wes. This is our map. All this just came together this week. Lamplight, your delight. Yes, you can.
Oh, well, thank you.
John, let me have another one. Thank you. Lamplight, your delight, a 40-day journey to intimacy. Now then, if you open it up, on the inside, it says, 40-day map to intimacy, June 14th to July 23rd. For the next 40 days, we're going on a journey together. Each day, there's a daily reading, except Sundays, and a daily verse to guide us. How far we travel on this journey depends on how much investment we're willing to make. Our Sunday mornings will be sharing our experiences, thoughts, and inspirations with one another. To assist in this, each of you has a journal for keeping track of our adventure. Now, so if you will look at this right, if you will look at this right here, this is not a calendar, this is a map. Okay? So it's not laid out to be like a calendar. It starts on June the 14th, and there is, each day for the 40 days, there is a Bible verse. Okay? Thank you. There is a Bible verse for each day. Every verse has something to do with finding joy or happiness or contentment, or I pulled up my thesaurus, all different kinds of things in there, in the Lord. Okay? There are 40 verses because there's a verse for every day. Then there is also a Bible reading. By the time this 40 days is over, we will have collectively read through the book called the Song of Solomon, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. There are no Bible readings. There is no Bible reading on Sunday. And except for when you get down to 2 John and 3 John, which 2 John has about 15 verses, and I think 3 John has like 17 verses, until you get down to that, there are never more than 7 verses in one day. Okay? Because this is not something that I'm wanting to make sure that, you know, I'm not saying we're going on this journey and I want you to read 6 chapters a day. You know, and people go, what? 7 verses is the max. Okay? 7 verses a day. And in 7 verses a day, we will read through 4 books. Song of Solomon, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. There is no Bible reading on Sunday because on Sunday, we're going to take times in our collective gathering to reflect on what it is we have read the week before. So, when you take Wednesday, you start in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Okay? And so next Sunday, we will discuss what you read on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Next Sunday. Then the following Sunday, it'll be what you read Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You follow me? So there is a verse for each day, but there's only a reading for 6 days. Everybody with me so far? Okay, now, there is also in your glove box a journal. Now, I am not big on journaling because it is very difficult, especially with my ADD and with my dyslexia. It's very difficult for me to get things from my head to my hand. Okay, because my head runs a million miles a minute. And when my hand runs a million miles a minute, then no one can read what it was my hand has done. Okay? But I'll tell you on the things that I have found important, like the book I don't know if I've ever told you all or not, but I'm in the process of writing a book. And how I have to do it is I talk into a cassette player and then I have to turn around and write it down. That's the only way that I can, that is the only way that I can trans, that I can get things from my head to my hand so that they make any sense. Now, here are journals. Now here's what I want to do. Like in your family, I'm going to give you a blue one. I'm going to give you a red one. And if you want to participate, I'm going to give you a black one. Okay? That way, you have your own. And what I don't want is I don't want you reading his, and I don't want you reading hers. Okay? Now, with that in mind, guys, my wife's is red, and mine is blue. That way, then, when I look at it, I know, in fact, here's mine. And something Michelle brought up to me is very interesting is this. You can take this, and it will fit right inside of there. I'll be, I was like, hey, that works. Now, the question is what am I journaling? Yeah. Whatever it is the Lord says to you while you're studying His Word. The thoughts that cross your mind, the ideas that come across. Anything the Lord says to you, you have an opportunity to write it down. Yes, ma'am? Yes, that's a good... I love it when an idea grows. If you're reading something and you don't understand it, you have a question about something you've read, write your question down. And then when we get together on Sundays, it's the reading that we're going to be talking about collectively, you can ask your question. Exactly. But how many of you know if you think to yourself, oh, I'll remember that and I'll ask it, you won't remember it. Okay. It is, and see, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to be careful of, and Sharon and I talked about this week. I'm not trying to build walls, okay? I'm not saying, this is what I want you to do. I'm writing you out a blank check, okay? I just want you to take the idea, customize it to how you feel comfortable. I just want you to do something, okay? You don't have to do it my way. I just want you to do it. Alrighty? So now then you've got yourselves a map for this journey. And there's a verse for every day, and there's a reading for every day. You have a journal that you can write down the things that the Lord speaks to your heart or brings up or the things that the Lord asks you to pray about or questions that you might have. All that sort of thing. Everybody with me?
Yep.
Okay. Next. Wednesdays, is a day of fasting. Wednesdays during this 40 days is a day of fasting. Now, once again, I'm not going to tell you what to do. There are some people in our sitting right now under the sound of my voice who are diabetic and you cannot not eat. Okay? Fasting doesn't have to do with food. Just food. Fasting has to do with an attitude. Fasting has to do with, I like this thing. I like to spend time with this thing. I like to do this thing. But for the next 40 days, I'm going to set this thing off to the side. And I'm going to take the time I would normally do doing this. And I'm going to spend it on this journey. So, you might abstain from a meal, or you might abstain from TV, or you might abstain from working in the yard, or you might, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm in the middle of a real good novel right now. Well, then take the time you would read that novel and spend it reading a better book. Okay. And see, today I'm even dressed like a construction guy because we're on a journey together.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were trying to match this right here.
I did find it funny, though, that she did the lamppost in orange. I did find that funny. Personally, I could do without a meal for three meals for one day. Personally, I could. Okay? But whatever it is that you want to set to the side as your fast, every Wednesday is a day of fasting. Any questions? Okay? Next. On this journey, we have a theme song. Alrighty, there's our theme song. Now, if you do not have a copy of Magnificent Obsession by Stephen Curtis Chapman, raise your hand and I got you a copy of it. Huh? Then take one of these. Because I hope I made enough for everybody. The point was to make enough for everybody. If not, I'll get some more. I mean, just stop and think about this. If you took, that song's about 5 minutes long. If you took 5 minutes out of every day and sang that one song to the Lord for 40 days, think about what that'd do for you. If every day you declared that Jesus is your magnificent obsession, that of everything I want and everything I need and everything I know about, all I want is you. That would be enough to change your life in 40 days. Very good. Somebody make me a copies. Thank you, Jackie. You got keys? Yeah, somebody. Here, Jackie. That's okay. Yes, it sure does. That's fine. We'll start there. If we don't have enough, we will. Okay. Yeah, and the first time I heard this song, I fell in love with it. If you stop and you just, I mean, this is me all over. Lord, you know how much I want to know so much in the way of answers and explanations. Anybody in the room who doesn't want answers and explanations, raise your hand. That's kind of what I figured. I've cried and prayed and still I seem to stay in the middle of life's complications. Anybody not there? Raise your hand. Okay. All this pursuing leaves me feeling like I'm chasing down the wind. But now it's brought me back to you and I can see this is everything I want. Now, down to that line, you ready? I know y'all going to think I have really fallen off of my rocker, and I have, and that's fine. And I hit my head too on the way down. Yeah. There, she's making them now. We are making copies of the words. Yes, we are. Move this. Okay. You know, I quit using the other lectern just so that you all could see through it. Okay, how's this? Okay, so we have daily verses, daily reading. You have a journal. We're going to be fasting on Wednesdays. We have a theme song. Now, you ready? We have a greeting. Hi, Samima.
Hi there. How are
you? I have one magnificent obsession. Just one. Got one thing on my mind. Got one. Hi. Hi, Mom. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Pastor Lambert. Hey. My idea just got expanded on. I like that. One. Got a greeting. One. Just got one thing on my mind. I have a magnificent obsession. I mean, I've been chasing the wind. I'm within 30 days of having been chasing the wind for 50 years. This is everything I want. This is everything I need. I want this to be my one consuming passion. Exactly. Everything my heart desires, Lord, I want it all to be for you, Jesus. Be my magnificent obsession. Okay? Everybody together on that? So, we have daily verses, daily reading, journal, fasting on Wednesdays, theme song, and greeting. Yes, ma'am. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Don. Do I say, I have a magnificent obsession, or do I say, have a magnificent obsession?
You can say whatever you want to say. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. Just, but you, and you can say anything you want to say.
Greeting.
With each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, take out the hug.
No, ma'am. No, you. I'm never going to not hug you. Yes, you may. Yes, you may. I'm gonna hug. In fact, when I bury you, I'm gonna hug you in your casket, and then I'm gonna lay in the ground. And then I'm gonna wait till I get to heaven and hug you again. Anybody else? Okay. Now, look on. If you take this like this and flip it over, we have a bouquet. There are five because you hold them in one hand. Okay? So, on one hand, you have five prayer requests during this 40 days. Five prayer requests that we want you to pray for the church. Number one, the manifest presence of God is number one. Now, what I mean by that is, corporately and personal, I want you to pray. You know, you all, well, I don't need to go through this again, I don't believe it. You all know that I'm believing God for Him to show up in a manifest presence. Not a sense God's here, I feel God's here, I got goosebumps God must be here, or some super spiritual, I feel that God's here. No, none of that. Okay? I'm talking about, I saw the Lord and He was high and lifted up. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? And here's the thing. These five are in this order for a reason also. Okay? Because nothing else matters other than His presence.
Amen.
So I want you to pray for His presence not only with us corporately, but with us individually. Number two, restoration. Take that word and run it just as broad and wide as you want to run it. Okay? But right now what we're talking about is the church. One of the big concerns that I have, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are people over our 35-year history who have left this fellowship or are out of fellowship with this fellowship, and God had nothing to do with it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem. At any juncture or point of disobedience to God, God comes to a complete standstill and waits on that issue to get rectified before He moves on. Are we all in agreement with that? Okay. So the people who have become angry because of something that was said or something that was done or something that wasn't done or something that wasn't said or... gosh, I don't want to be specific because I'm trying to keep us from, specifics, okay? That's probably enough said anyway. But a restoration, but my concern is though, is that these people who are in direct disobedience to God, maybe they did need to move on, but they didn't do it God's way. That's the same thing. Okay? God comes to a dead halt. So it's not near as much a concern that those people find their way back as it is that they get things right so that they can move on. Mm-hmm. Or come back or whatever. Okay? Restoration. Alrighty? With those who are no longer here and among ourselves. Alrighty? Number three, church leadership and staff. I'm going to tell you something. Personally, in my own quiet time, I scare me because I am stretched in so many different directions and going, You know, I was thinking this week, I shift gears more than any 18-wheel truck driver ever thought about doing. Constantly from the ring of the phone, going from daddy to husband to counselor to pastor to cable salesman, you know, to what, I mean, and I mean, it's like this. My cell phone bill is over $200 a month with over close to 2,500 minutes. You realize how much time that is on the phone? Now that's just not people, that's not me talking to people face to face. That's just on the silly, crazy phone. Sometimes I scare myself and just wonder how much longer can this even go on. I'll tell you something else that scares me. My elders scare me because they are stretched about as far as they can be stretched. And I'm concerned about them. Marcia, enough said. She carries a whole lot more than what she needs to or ought to, just simply because she's the one who happens to still be sitting in the middle of the bullseye. Okay? The people who clean the church, the people who are in charge of children's church, the people who work in the nursery, the people who run our sound, and thank God for little Mike. I got a compliment this week, Mike, as a matter of fact, from somebody. I told them to go to our website, and they went, and they called me back and said, I downloaded a couple sermons off of it, and I was really impressed with how easy your website is to navigate. Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. There's a lot of things in the leadership and in the staff we need to be praying for. Amen? Okay. Number four. Guys, cut the lights off for me, please. I got these. Like that, and I think that this one is right here. And if I hit blank on this, there we go. Now this worked yesterday. There we go. There's the light. Can you see that light? Okay, this actually has an adjustment on it where it's even brighter. But how many of you know that is different from this light? It's a whole lot different. Okay? Because I can see a whole lot more with this light than I can with that light. Yes or no? But how many of you know that's different from this light? Oh yeah! I won't shine it in your eyes. Prayer request number four. We want the Lord to turn the light up. It's not enough to just be a light. Need to be a bright light. We're not called to be a city. We're called to be a city set upon a hill. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not enough just to be a light. Got to shine a light. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. I'll take the lights back now, guys. Then number five, we put down church finances, but let me tell you this. If the other four get in line, number five will be there automatically. Because finances is a symptom, it's not a problem. Alrighty? But they are also a reality. So I wanted you to be praying for those also. Now, that's the bouquet in one hand. We gave you room for a bouquet in the other hand. Not asking you to list, dear God, here are 18 things I want you to consider. Okay, narrow it down to a bouquet in one hand. Five things. How many fingers you got? Okay. Narrow it down to a bouquet of five. One handful. A handful for the church and a handful for yourself personally. Everybody got that? Okay. Moving right along to the next one then. Those of you... Oh, okay. Hey, that's a great job putting them front and back like that. If you would like to have a copy of the words, Well, I would have made two sheets because I'm not talented. Hand those out, baby girl. If you'd like to have a copy of the words to Magnificent Obsession, there you go. Okay. Any questions up to this point? Okay, moving right along. June 14th. Kickoff day. That happens to be this Wednesday. Yes, ma'am. Start your fast this Wednesday. Start your Bible verses and your Bible reading this Wednesday. Start your start your journaling this Wednesday. And play your CD on the way home today. And play it 100 times a day. Okay? Now, this Wednesday, we're going to have a service here at the church at 7 o'clock. We're going to be doing two things at this service. Number one, we're going to make sure we're all on the same path and everybody understands. And people who were, I'm going to send out a one call now tomorrow for people who were not here today who want to come and they need to get all their stuff, you know, and all that. We will have communion. We will have prayer. And here's the other reason why we want to do this. I'm more committed if I know you're committed with me. You know, I won't, but theoretically, people will show up at the gym to work out. Not me, but but theoretically, people will show up at the gym to work out if they're working out with somebody. Okay? And so what we want to do is we want to eliminate any feeling that you're in this by yourself. Okay? That we're all in this together. All righty? So be here Wednesday. Bring your journal. Bring your map. I mean, how are you gonna know if you're going north if you don't have your map that shows you which way north is?
That's right.
Which way is north?
Over there.
Right there. We're all gonna be moving together this Wednesday, the 14th, 7 o'clock. Any questions on that? All right. Moving right along to the next thing then. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, since I had this actually on the overhead, but that thing's going to be the death of me yet. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Everybody at Proverbs 16? Of the Amplified, but look with me at verse 16. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get skillful and godly wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Now, I want us to break this verse down into two parts. Number one, how much better it is to get skillful and godly wisdom than gold. Now, let's stop and think. Who wrote this? Solomon did. All righty? And we all know how when Solomon became king after David died, God came to him and said, you know, I'll give you my name. God came to him and said, hey, don't I look like Regis Philbin to you? You can have a million. He said, God came to Solomon and he said, hey, I'm going to give you one wish. You can wish for anything you want to wish, whatever it is yours. And Solomon said, I want wisdom to rule your people. It isn't that Solomon had everything and he lacked wisdom. It's that when he had wisdom, he had everything. This is what we're talking about in this next 40 days, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? We're not talking about a 40-day fundraiser or a 40-day, you know, lose weight. I mean, all that kind of stuff is off to the side somewhere. Yesterday's One Call Now message said that one of the most frustrating things in life is how much time we spend with stuff that really doesn't make any difference. And I am asking you for 40 days of, you know, and please hear me. Has anybody heard me say, I want 5 minutes, I want 30 minutes, I want an hour, I want... No, I haven't said that. Why? Because I'm writing you a blank check. Alrighty? Give it whatever it is between you and the Lord you want to give it. But I'm going to tell you something. I promise you this, you will not outgive Him. That the more you give to Him, the more you'll get from Him. You'll be calling me up in 2 weeks and going, Pastor, I need another one of those journals. I done filled mine up. Or my CD scratched. I need another CD. Well, if you do, you call me. I'll get you another one. Okay. Exactly. I'll make you another one. Okay. Bless her heart. Don't you love her? How much better it is to get skillful and godly wisdom. And I'm going to tell you something. The most wise thing you can do is knowing Him. Not knowing about Him, knowing Him. Second part of this verse. And had I been writing this, after the word chosen, I would have put a comma. Because I think it needs to read this way. And to get understanding is to be chosen. And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. There's two most precious metals is gold and silver. But what's more precious than that is wisdom and understanding. Do you know that that most of what is occupying our minds, the dilemmas that we have, the frustrations that are in our lives, the things that cause us the most concern, how many of you know that if you saw it from the Lord's eyes? If you just had His wisdom about those situations, if you had His understanding about those situations, it would change your perspective 1,000%, wouldn't it? You know, I've always said that one of the greatest demonstrations of God's kindness and mercy is when He killed John the Baptist's mother before John was an adult. That's one of the greatest kindnesses, because now Elizabeth is able to watch her son from God's perspective. Because stop and think about how John got here. His daddy was at work one day. He walked around with a little candle thing in his hand, and he was lighting some candles and doing what it is he does. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared to him and said, hey, I know you're old. You look old. You're really old. Your wife's old. You're old. Y'all are old. You're old. But you're getting ready to have a baby. And like an idiot, he goes, how do I know that? And the angel said, well, okay. I'm gonna bless your lack of faith. And the guy went mute. Didn't speak again for 9 months. Until they came to him and said, you know, your wife, I think she's suffering from postpartum depression, because she wants to name this boy John. But there's nobody in your family named John, so we know she must be suffering from something. What are you gonna name him? He took a pad and wrote John on it, and his voice came back. Now, if you had that experience, and then your child grows up and never gets past wearing his clothes wrong side out, don't you think you'd be asking God a question or two? If your boy was standing in the water with a honeycomb in one hand, a grasshopper in the other, and water up to his waist, and shouting at the religious leaders of your day, you all are the ones who are crazy, don't you think he'd be on the top of your prayer request? Some of you got children less crazy than that, and they're on the top of your prayer request. So God, in His infinite mercy, said, Elizabeth, come here, honey. I'm going to let you see this like I see it. You just stand right here next. You can even lean on my armrest if you want to. And watch what your boy does. But do you know, now I've said that for years because I think it's kind of funny to tell. But you know, one thing I had not thought about was, though, till this week, everything that John stood for was in direct opposition to everything his father had done for a living. I had not thought about that. He went and that pendulum swung 180 degrees the other direction. And everything that his father stood for was what John screamed and hollered against. Wasn't it? But his dad and his mom, standing each on one side of the throne, leaning up against the armrest, were able to be at peace. Why? Because they could see it where God could see it. Better it is to have God's understanding. Better it is to have God's wisdom than to have all of the riches of all of the world. Amen?
Amen.
All righty.
How did John die?
Was beheaded. King Herod had him beheaded after his wife asked for his head because of his daughter's dance. Yeah. Yeah, the daughter danced. Right. The daughter danced and he said, "I'll give you up to half the kingdom." She said, "I just want John's head on a platter," and that's what she got. And how many of you know that had he entered the world the way he did, you still been alive and he exited the world the way he did, you would be saying, "Well, I guess God got him for all those bad stuff he did." Isn't that what they know how, from our perspective, that's what we would have said. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what the Bible, in fact, this is extra, no additional charge, okay? Anybody remember what the Bible says that when Jesus heard that John had been beheaded, anybody know what the Bible says was the very next thing Jesus did? Anybody remember? It says he turned and cast out devils. The minute they delivered the message to him that John had been beheaded, the Bible says that he turned around and he cast out devils. Because you see, you say, well, that's important because Jesus understood. Now, how many of you know that Jesus could have said, "God, just send a lightning bolt down on Herod's throne and consume him right this minute, make him into a pile of ashes"? Could have done that. But see, he understood we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So what he did was, is when the devil had John killed, Jesus just kicked the devil in the tail. Fair enough? Fair enough. Okay. How much better it is to get skillful and godly wisdom than gold and to get understanding to be chosen rather than silver. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I first became pastor here almost 5 years ago, we're within just a couple of weeks of it being 5 years, I went through some criticism, which didn't make a hill of beans worth of difference to me. But there was some criticism that I was putting entirely too much emphasis on things that were external at the church and that I was ignoring internal problems that we had. Well, guess what? All my critics were wrong. But do you know that I can mow the grass so that the grass looks nice, but I cannot change your heart. Let me just tell you, there are no magic words that can be spoken over every lost person sitting in this room and them go, "Well, Pastor, gosh, I'm glad you said that. Now I want to get saved." Even when you say words and somebody wants to get saved, it wasn't because of what you said, it was because of how the Holy Spirit ministered those words to that person's heart. Let's give credit where credit's due. Okay? Let's take that a step further. There's no magical lifestyle. I cannot live so godly in front of you that you go, "Oh my God, I want to be just like that." Now, some of you may want to argue that point, but let me just say this. If that were possible, then the whole world, everybody that looked at Jesus would have got saved. But even the Son of God didn't save everybody who was around him. And when he died alone. Even after all that he did. So it isn't my responsibility to change you. It isn't your responsibility to change me. It's our responsibility. Let me tell you what my responsibility is. My responsibility is to offer you opportunities for change. That's my only job. Not my only job. My second job is to love you no matter what decision you make. That's my other job. And those two things I think I do extremely well. This is called a journey into intimacy. When you hear this word, this is what should cross your mind. Into me see. That's what crossed your mind. When you hear the word intimacy, the thing that should cross your mind is into me see. Because that's what the point of all of this is. The problem is God doesn't have any problem with looking into your heart and knowing what's there. He knows it better than you know it. The objective is for us to have some kind of a guideline to put ourselves into a position where God can tell us what it is God already knows. You see, it's not that fasting gets God to speak to us. It's that fasting puts us in a position to hear what God wants to say. You follow me? Okay. I'm going to end this morning with just one other thought then here, and any questions that you might have. I spent quite a few years on the road traveling in a music ministry. And far south is Miami, and far west is Colorado, and far north is New Jersey, and went into Wisconsin and Michigan. Been a lot of places. Put a lot of miles on a vehicle. And I don't think you see it as much now as you used to. But it used to be you'd be out on the interstate and you'd be riding, you know, and you'd see somebody hitchhiking. And whenever I was traveling and I would see somebody up ahead who was hitchhiking, I would just say out loud, "Lord, let me pick this person up." And there would be times when I wouldn't hear anything and I'd ride around by them. There'd be times when I'd hear the Lord say, "Yeah," and I'd stop and I'd pick up a hitchhiker. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing to do. I'm just telling you what I did, okay? All right, so don't everybody run out of here going, "I'm looking for a hitchhiker because the preacher said pick them up." That's not what I said, okay? But that's what I did. Here's the thing. Back in those days, my journey began at home. And I had this period of time that I traveled to get to the next service. The hitchhiker got on at some point, got off at some point, but never went the distance. First of all, let me say, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I have just wasted the last 50 minutes of your time. Because if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, there is no journey for you to be on. Because you see, in order for me to pick up a hitchhiker, he had to be on the same interstate I was on. And until we come to Jesus, we're on our own road. We're going our own way. We're doing things our own way, making our own decisions. And so if I'm on 85 headed south to Atlanta, it's hard to pick up a hitchhiker on 77 going north. In fact, I would say it's impossible. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm not apologizing for wasting your time. I just want you to know that The journey begins when our lives are surrendered to Him. In fact, this is not a bad word right here. But where home is when we say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. When we fall at His feet and we declare that Jesus is Lord, that from this day forward, every breath I breathe, every thought I take, every moment of my life I dedicate to you. That's when you get home. Until then, you're just on a journey on your own. And I'm not trying to be ugly or harsh, but I do want to love you enough to tell you the truth. There is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. So for those of you here this morning who've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that when our service time is over and the elders are here at the front, I want to encourage you to come and talk to an elder and give your heart to Jesus, because until you start there, that's a nicer way of putting it than what I was going to say. Until you start there, then there is no start. For those of you who do know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I've always believed that heaven is like being dropped from a helicopter into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And you're given these instructions. Swim until you figure out the lengths, the breadths, and the depth of the ocean that you're in. Now, how long would that take you? And see, what heaven is all about is we are dropped inside of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13, the last few verses, where it talks about, we now know in part, but we'll know then as we are known. That is not a wakening up in heaven and all of a sudden I know everything God knows. No, heaven is where we get dropped inside of Jesus with the instructions, swim around until you have figured out how wide, how deep, and how long He is. And you know what? Because of that, that's why God created eternity. That's why. Because the deeper we go, the deeper we realize we haven't gone anywhere. And the wider we go, the more we realize we've not gone anywhere. Because Jesus is like an onion. The more you peel it back, the more layers there are. And you just keep peeling and keep peeling, and there's just no end to the whole thing. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I am inviting you to come with us on a journey, but I am asking you not to get off at some point, but ride all the way to the service. 40 days seems like a long time. Spread it out over your lifetime, though, it's just a drop in the bucket. And I didn't ask for half a day or 2 hours or, you know, I didn't ask for any of that stuff. Because I want to leave that. It's not my responsibility to do that. It's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to tell you what He wants, and then our responsibility to obey that. That's what our responsibility is. Until we come to Jesus, until we come to Jesus, our lives give off as much light as this does, right this moment. But when we come to Jesus, our light might start off a little on the low side. But hey, I'll tell you what, I'll take some light in Him over no light whatsoever. But as we invest time with Him, our light, oh, by the way, can grow. And that's what the purpose of all this is about, is growing in Him. Anybody have a question? Okay. Speak up where everybody can hear you.
What we know about Jesus is so good. If we have eternity just to discover what He is, how boring can that be? It can be really the greatest. I mean,
it is the greatest.
It'd be like, well, to a kid going to, you know, a permanent ticket to Carowinds or whatever, they get thrills up, you know, full time.
Mm-hmm.
But what little bit I know about the Lord is just a little bit. It's all been wonderful. Is that right, Eden? There's nothing, I haven't found anything that's not good.
Right.
So when I get in this ocean, oh my, I'll be like Flipper. I'm going to hop on.
Notice also I didn't set an age limit. I thought about you this week. I thought to myself, I bet you Oriana have more written in her journal than Don Hall will have in his. I didn't set an age limit either. You know, if your children want to participate, get the stuff, let them participate. All righty? Any other questions? All righty, going to close with one last thing. Yes?
No, I was.
Oh, okay. There's our greeting. One last thing. Because we are broke as a church, all of the supplies, the CDs, the cases, the labels, the time invested in all that, the notebooks. Now, of course, the church did do the printing of the maps. Okay. I paid for all of that stuff out of my own personal pocket. I figured about 40 people at about $3 a piece is what it's going to cost to cover all of that. So if you have $3 that you can give me to reimburse that, that would be great. If you do not, that is great. Because I feel like the investment is well worth that little bit of money. Amen? So if you're participating in this and you want to help offset the expenses, you can do so. Just hand it to me after service. If you don't have it to give, that is fine also. I'd rather you have it than not have it. All righty? Let's pray. I want to remind you in our prayer, before I pray too, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, bring your journal and your map with you, and we'll start our journeys together. Lord, I think what we are probably the most grateful for is that our desire to know You is not one-sided. But You desire that we would know You. And so, God, as we purpose in our hearts that over the next 40 days we are going to seek You with all that we are, we thank You that according to the authority of Your Word, that if we will seek You with our hearts, we will find You. And we thank You that we can rest, that Your word is true. Lord God, there are some here today who've never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I would ask You, God, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would convict and break through onto every heart and to every life. Because the Lamb is worthy of His reward. We give You honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have yourselves a great week.